Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, Lord, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, help us be faithful to you today and for the rest of our lives, Father. Give us courage and strength to trust in you, Lord. Again, we just want to thank you for all that you do for us in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to greet you all this morning in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bring greetings from the brethren in Mexico. They'll send their greetings to you. So we were there last weekend. It was a real blessing to be with the brothers there. Again, just want to thank the Lord for his goodness and his mercy. One of the things I think that we can do is be thankful. God is truly good to us. A lot of times when we're not thankful, it's because we think we deserve better. And I think that's a big, we just don't deserve anything. We deserve what we deserve to receive for what we've done. That's what we deserve. And God has given us a great privilege to be reconciled and to be restored back to our Creator, to be what He wants us to be. And it's it's very important. It counts a lot in a human being, in us, to be thankful. I mean, an unthankful person is just one of the things that I think God despises. I mean, and that's one of the things, just to be grateful for what He's done. And I just want to do that this morning, just to be thankful. That's what our worship and our adoration and our praise of the Lord is all about, is being truly grateful for what He's done for us and acting that way. And that's what believing is about. Praise the Lord. This morning I want to, let's just turn in our Bibles. To John, let's verse 31. This is just after they had had the Lord's Supper, had communed together.
Which chapter?
John chapter 13. Just after Judas had, it says, verse 31, it says, therefore, when he had gone out, this is, Judas had just went out. In the King James, I said, he went out and it was night. It's just telling of going out into darkness. Judas had gone out. Here, Jesus had been nothing but good to Judas. He had been trusted. He had been a part of the group. Even held the money for the group, and yet he betrayed the Lord, and he went out. And like I said, in the King James, it said, and it was night. Just depicting the darkness of the betrayal, the turning away from all that was good, and betraying that, and there's nothing but darkness. The song we just sang, this, you know, it talks about fight the good fight. This, faint not nor fear, his arms are near. He changeth not, and thou art dear. Only believe, and thou shalt see that Christ is all in all to thee. It's hard sometimes to see everything, what comes our way. It's difficult. It's hard to understand the things that we go through. But when we do, and we're faithful, there's always a clarity. There's just an honesty. Whenever we do what's right, and we do trust the Lord, and we do see things through, there is a clarity that comes. We give up on that, and there's darkness. There's nothing but night that comes from that. But when we do persist, though we may go through clouds and storms, there's a clarity that comes just from trusting in the Lord. I mean, people make choices, and I've said this, one of the things that convinces me there is a God more than anything is that we have a choice that we can make. We see people who choose right and wrong, and it is their choice. And they yield to that choice, and it turns to darkness. But when they yield to goodness, you see the goodness in people. You can see people change right in front of your eyes, yielding to darkness or yielding to the goodness. And that convinces me that there's a God more than anything when I see the goodness that people can choose and that is that they are capable of. And that's when this morning I took Jimmy, the older man, to go visit. Well, I went to his house this morning and got there a little earlier, and he wanted to go eat breakfast. And so we took him to breakfast, and here we ordered, and he's crippled, and he has a hard time, and he spilled his coffee all over him. And you could just see the look on his face. He was quiet, but he just had a real deep breath look on his face. And anyway, got that all cleaned up, and ate a little breakfast, and the waitress came over and said, "You're not going to get a bill because someone has paid for your meal." And so he went through this, you know, this. I guess they just felt bad for him having this trouble and paid for his meal, and he just said, "That restores my confidence in humanity." Mm-hmm. Just that little thing that someone did, a little act of kindness, restored his hope in humanity. Well, that may not last long, but it lasted enough for a day. But you can just see there's goodness, and goodness is good, and it just spreads light everywhere. Just a little act of kindness, just that goodness. Things like that just give you hope that there is a good God. There's darkness all around us, there's trouble. And we know where that leads, but just seeing those little things of goodness just give you a fresh breath of taking another step and just fighting the good fight, as this song says. And this was from an unbeliever, as far as we know. We don't even know who it was. There was only a handful of people in there, but somebody just did this little act of kindness to dear old Jimmy, and it made his day. He's just sat there and he said, "I'm mad at myself for spilling this." But then when that happened, it was just, there was just a bright light of kindness. And that's, there is something good out there in this world. There is something better in the next world. And we see little glimpses of that sometimes. And that's what we need to pursue after. That's what we need to be, that little glimpse. Just little things sometimes that really affect someone else. Just taking the time to be that goodness in this world, that light, that salt that Christ has called us to be. We get so caught up in a lot of different things, thinking that we don't measure up. But it's light that we're supposed to be following. And as we walk in that light, the path, there's light around us. But it gets gloomy and we get cloudy and we get to looking at the darkness and we get to looking at the night. And that's where we wind up heading. It's hard to just trust ourselves, just to trust the Lord, just to walk in this light, knowing that we don't deserve, knowing all of these things, but just to keep on pressing on. That's what He's called us to do. Let me see. And He had gone out. Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in Him." Okay. Jesus just recognized. This is where He's saying that He was glorified. He was just betrayed. He knew that Judas was going out to find the people that were going to come and crucify Him, to capture Him. He knew this was going on. And right here is where it says that He was glorified. "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in Him." He could have got really dark about this. He just was betrayed, and he could have just wanted to give up. But this is where he glorified God. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him immediately. "Little children, I am with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come." Then he says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another." Here is his commandment. We can sum up all of every rule, everything in the Bible, and Jesus said himself, they all hang on this one, these two things: love God with all your heart and your neighbor as yourself. A lot of people love God. They just try to keep all the rules. They try to keep all everything just so to love God. But what is Christ's commandment? "This new commandment I give to you, that you love one another." You know, we can keep a lot of different things. Keep a lot of different rules. We can live within a lot of the teachings of Jesus and still not love one another. And this is the commandment that he's given. The rules and all of those things, they're secure. But to love someone is taking a risk. It's taking a chance. Here, Jesus, just after he was betrayed, loved. And this is when he tells us to love one another. He took a chance on trusting someone and was betrayed. And yet, the next time we see Jesus, whenever he meets Judas, what did he do? He said, "Friend, why?" Well, how does he do that? Let's look in the garden. Chapter 18. Well, maybe that's not going to say it. "Betrayeth thou the Son of Man with a kiss?" Judas, he just put that question there. Did you betray? It's not. It's in the other. It's in the other gospel. But he asked him, betrayeth the Son of God with a kiss? It took a risk. Jesus took a risk to trust. And that's what love does. Friend, yeah, wherefore art thou come, he said in one of the places. Giving him an opportunity even there to be his friend. Still.
That'd be 26:50.
Okay. Matthew 26:50 is where that's found. Okay. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And then verse 35 here in John chapter 13. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. You know, we think of love, and what I want to try to bring out today is to love one another is to open yourself to be hurt. You can't truly love if it doesn't cost you something. You can't truly love if you isolate yourself and keep anyone else from being in. That's where the world is today. They build a little shell for themselves to protect themselves so that nobody can get in there and hurt them anymore. A lot of times we find this from people from very young, their parents hurt them, or someone older than them hurts them when they're little. What do? I think that's one of the reasons why there's so many divorces today, and because the person that has built a little shell around their heart and they won't let anybody in there. Oh, they have the emotions, the feelings, all of those things, but nobody is going to get in there to hurt them again. They're not going to let it happen. That person cannot love. They miss it. All of the love and the things that they say is love is simply on the outside. It's just the emotions, the feelings. And when that's gone, there's nothing there to carry them through. Because they're living in their little shell and not going to let anybody in there. That's why people don't trust God. They can't truly trust Him because they would have to open their heart and actually let Him trust that He is going to love them. But instead, they would rather stay in their little shell. And not let anyone in. Not let that be penetrated. Because love opens you to where someone might betray you. They might hurt you. It might cost you something. We go through life seeking religion, trying to build a little shell around ourselves to protect ourselves. And that is what Jesus called hypocrisy. Because His new commandment, and what He had from the very beginning, was that we love one another. But because someone's hurt us, or because someone has treated us bad when we were vulnerable, when we were young, that we did let in, we're not going to give another chance. And so we come along and we build up all this religion. We coat our lives with a religion that won't let anyone in. And it may appear real from the outside, but there's no love in it. It's cold, it's dead, it has the appearance of everything being just right, but there's no love in it. There's no faith in it. There's no trust in it. That's why so many people can't tolerate anybody that doesn't do just exactly the way they do, because they're not going to open themselves up. Jesus came into this world, and the Bible says that He went right in among the sinful, the sick, the hurting. He didn't build His own little shell. He trusted God. He loved God and was able to go there, not because He had this religious aura about Him, but because He had faith and trusted. He was able to go right in to dangerous places and be what God wanted Him to be. Religion builds this big wall around us, and we won't even go in there. And it isolates us from those things. And that's not what God wanted to do. I'm not saying just go try to tempt yourself and fall into sin. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about being able to live who you are, to trust God the way He wanted it done. In 1 Peter chapter 3. We have an example of this, instruction of this. Okay. Now I'm going to just, in chapter 2, I'm going to begin here. Verse 20. I'll have to read some more of that. Verse 17. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. I want to bring out, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. One of the hardest things for someone who considers them righteous, considers themselves righteous, or just, or wise, is to deal with something that is unreasonable. That's hard to do. To deal with something that is unreasonable. Because we see justice in it. We want our rights. And so, when something becomes unreasonable, we don't know what to do with that. This is unreasonable. This doesn't make sense. This is wrong. But here is where the Bible is telling us, servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. Sometimes I see things going on in my work that just, this doesn't make any sense at all. But my job, my responsibility is to be submissive with respect, even though it doesn't make any sense, even though it's unreasonable. For this finds favor. This finds favor. For the sake of conscience toward God, a person bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. Okay. For the sake of conscience towards God, a person bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. Look at conscience here. Oh, I'm. It's not because I'm doing something, because it bothers my conscience, or not doing it. That's what he's talking about here. He's talking about doing what's right when it's unreasonable, and your conscience is probably screaming out, "This is wrong." For if for the sake of conscience towards God, a person bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. This is suffering unjustly. And most of the time, like I said, our conscience is saying this is wrong. But the pure conscience is willing to trust and to love God no matter what. For what credit is there if when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience, but if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. It's being wronged that finds favor with God and bearing it patiently. And this, like I said, is very difficult. But this is what we're called to do. This finds favor with God. Then verse 21, "For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps." We saw the example. Jesus was betrayed by one of his closest friends. Do you think Jesus, after being betrayed by his closest friends, one of his closest friends, do you think the next time he's not going to let that happen again? Do you think that's what Jesus learned from this? This ain't going to happen again. I'm not going to trust anymore. I'm going to build a little circle. I'm going to build a little shell around my heart. I'm going to make sure that nobody is going to get in here that's going to hurt me anymore. Do you think that's what Jesus did? Do you think he learned that lesson from this? No. Because he's good all the time. He has faith all the time. He trusts all the time. He loves all the time. We learn lessons. The little saying, "Burn me once, shame on you. Burn me twice, shame on me." That's not love. That's selfish. Love leaves you vulnerable to get hurt over and over and over again. We don't like that. Love leaves you vulnerable to be betrayed over and over and over again. This is why churches begin to have rules. They get wise to love, this trusting thing. And so they begin to isolate people that are going to cause them problems. They begin to isolate people that they would have to trust. They begin to get everything formed together to where this isn't going to happen to us again. We're never going to trust anybody again. And if they don't meet up to us, we're done with them. There's no love at all in that. Because love will keep you vulnerable to being hurt again. Trust will leave you vulnerable to getting cheated again. It's not godly to get wise to somebody going to cheat you. It's not godly to get wise to somebody who's going to hurt you. It's godly to trust the Lord to love one another, even though they will probably at some time or another let you down. Everybody I've ever trusted at one time or another has let me down some way. And the same way with you. It's just part of it. It's just part of life. And we can get wise to that, or we can be like Jesus in those things and love each other. Worldly wisdom. You know, we talk about the world's wisdom. The world's wisdom gets wise to all of this. It may have the appearance of righteousness and godliness, but it's full of it, of this worldly wisdom. To be wise as serpents and harmless as doves is to love. Disregarding ourselves. That's what it means to lay down our lives for the brethren. It's not go out there and lay in front of a car or die for them. It's to lay down our lives. Lay down our hearts. Lay down our love for them. That's what it means. They done me wrong. How many times did Jesus say forgive? 7 times 70. But we learn. We get wise. Now, they burned me once. That ain't happening again. It's going to take a while before I'm going to trust you anymore. But that's not what Jesus did. And that's not what he tells us to do. He says, it's great. It's good. It's fine favor. When you endure it with patience. But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. For have you been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting to himself, to him who judges righteously. That doesn't look religious to people. We want to set the record straight. We want to fix things. We want to make sure. But Jesus trusted him who judges righteously. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you are healed. He bore our sins in his body. He suffered for all of this selfishness, all of this unlovingness. That's why he suffered all of those things, so that we could be delivered from them. By his stripes, he's healed us from ourselves, our worldly wisdom, to be what he wants us to be. For you were continually straying like sheep. You know, if Jesus would have gave up on us the first time we burned him, and he would have got wise and thrown love out the window, where would we be? He would have got rid of us when we were 12 or 13 or 14 years old. And never given us. We were continually going astray like sheep. But his love doesn't have a point where wisdom kicks in. His love waits on us to make those choices. His love, he doesn't just get fed up with us. He waits and lets us continue to reject him and forget him. And we make those choices. For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. we've returned to the shepherd and guardian of our souls. We've returned to the shepherd and guardian, trusting him to take care of our souls. I want to remember that. Chapter 3, verse 1. Now look where we wind up. In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of the wives, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. Your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair, or wearing gold or jewelry, or putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. For in this way, in former times, the holy women also, who hoped in God, used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. Just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you have become her children if you do what is right, without being frightened by any fear. But here's what I'm talking about. If we're not frightened, doing what is right, trusting in God, loving God, loving our neighbor as ourselves, and not be frightened with any fear. No one can hurt you whenever you're doing, when you're loving them. All of these examples here, in the same way, wives, be submissive to your husband. He gives that example. You don't have to protect yourself. You don't have to fix things. You trust that your submissive and meek and quiet spirit is, and doing with that kind of heart, you cannot be hurt. That's trusting in God. And letting yourself go to that point, trusting your husband with a meek and quiet spirit, is, and not building up a wall. I'm not going to let him hurt me again. I'm not going to let him do that again. I'm going to make these decisions. I'm not going to let him mess up again. That meek and quiet spirit, you can't be hurt when you are trusting in God. Just like you can't be hurt when you open yourselves to love someone. That's why Jesus was able to go right in the middle of everything this world had to throw at him. And he didn't have to build a wall. The wall he had was he loved. He loved. That was his wall. That was his protection. He trusted. He knew he was going to be betrayed. He knew they were going to hurt his feelings. But he trusted God right through it all. And that was his wall of protection. That was his safety net. It was trusting him who judges rightly. It was returning to the shepherd and guardian of our souls. When we do things God's way, he becomes the guardian of our souls. He becomes our protection. He is why it's an imperishable thing, because he stepped in to take care of us. That's where faith is. Worldly wisdom is building all these little walls to protect us from these things, fixing things ourselves so that we won't get hurt. We just eliminate having the guardian of our souls take care of us then. That's why Jesus said, the way we're supposed to live this life. That's why giving, turning the other cheek, doing all those things, not building a wall, building a fence of protection, making sure it's because we're going to trust Him and they can't hurt our souls because we're doing it God's way and they can't hurt us. They can talk about us. They can tear us down. They can do all kinds of things. They can kill our bodies. They can ruin us in this world. But when we have the guardian of our souls, because we're just going to do it His way and let them do whatever they will to us, then we've got a shepherd and a guardian of our souls. A friend is a friend. Whether the person being a friend does not rely, me being a friend doesn't rely on whether you're going to be a friend to me or not. Loving doesn't rely on whether you're going to love me or not. Jesus loved us whether we loved Him or not. Wasn't depending upon us. Jesus is a friend whether you're going to be His friend in return or not. He's the best thing, the best friend we could have. And it doesn't matter whether you're His friend back or not. You're not going to change Him. He's still good. That's the way we should be. We should be a friend even when our friend hurts us. That shouldn't change whether I'm going to still be your friend or not if you're not friendly to me. You do me wrong. That doesn't change. If I'm a true friend, that doesn't change anything. No matter how you treat me. If I have true love, it doesn't matter how you treat me. I'm going to still love you. I'm going to still be a friend, no matter what. Jesus loved them and let them reject Him. He let them reject Him. He loved them that much. Well, we say that much. It's not a quality. It's not a quantity. Love is not a quantity. It doesn't have a quantity. I'm not a friend that much or until. A friend is a friend is a friend. Love is love is love. It doesn't have, we want to put an end on it, but love is that way. It doesn't have an end. Love doesn't, friendship doesn't have an end. A friend is a friend no matter what. That's, you understand what I'm saying? I mean, we want to put qualifiers on it. But if you put a qualifier, as soon as you put a qualifier on it, it is not what we said it was. When you put a qualifier, I'm going to love you until, it's not love. There's no love in that, except love of self. It's just completely selfish. That's the commandment. That's the simple commandment that Jesus said, love one another. Yeah, we try to keep the things that Jesus said and those things, the teachings of Jesus. A man that loves and keeps the isn't gonna do his neighbor wrong. It isn't. That's what the teachings of Jesus are all about. But he goes deeper to where love is not just this gushy thing. It is a thing that is going to require commitment on your part to love your neighbor. And this is His commandment. And by this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. This dividing, division because of religion is as anti-God as there is. It's anti-Christ. Dividing because you might hurt me. That's building a wall, and it has nothing to do with following Jesus. This idea, shunning that the Amish and the Mennonite have made so much a part of their gospel is as far from what Jesus would do as there is. Jesus said, "Do you greet only those who love you? What more do the publicans and the sinners do? Do you only love those that love you?" You can go to the bar and find that kind of camaraderie. And yet, that's the same thing that we have in the churches. To only love those who are right where I am, and to shun those who aren't with me. To build this little wall and this little shell, and anybody outside of that is going to be shunned. There's no love in that. That's foolish. Amish and Mennonite nonsense. Has nothing to do with following Jesus. It's nonsense. It's just a creation by a bunch of men to build a little wall around themselves. And it's nonsense. It has nothing to do with following Jesus. Jesus would have received Judas. The very next evening, he would have had supper with him again. Because he loved him. That is what separates that kind of love and that kind of faith and that kind of trust is the spirit that Christ had that got him crucified. Because it was above all of this other nonsense, and that other nonsense couldn't figure it out. They couldn't understand it. And so they had to get away, they had to do away with him. The best separation, the only true separation from the world, is to have the Spirit of Christ. That keeps the church holy. That keeps it pure. And when you have to stoop to fix it yourself and do all these things yourself, you've lost all of it. You haven't had anything. This is his commandment, that you love one another. Trust is to open yourself to be hurt. It's to open yourself to be betrayed. But how beautiful it is when you open yourself and you find faithful brethren that will love you. Who wants a fair weather friend? Who wants a fair weather love? Who wants that? Look at how ugly that really is. Jesus said they will know you by your love one to another. Your absolute commitment to love even people who do you wrong. To love your husband, to love your wife, to love your children. Not just because it's convenient, but to be there. You might not be able to support everything they're doing. You might not be able to go along with everything they're doing. But be there to know that if they come back, you'll help them. Anyone have any questions? Kind of been an end of a year. Sometimes we have a little review of just a review of the heart of what we're trying to do. I think from the very beginning, we set out to just have a Bible church, just to have a New Testament church where we put into practice the teachings of Jesus, and that's the minimum requirement of being a part of the body of Christ. And that's been our goal for a long time. It was several years defining that, but I think that's what most people say they want. But I just, as we go through and look at where we are now, it's being more defined, more and more defined to what that means. But I think that's still the heart and soul of our goal. This is probably, I don't know, what was it, 20-some years ago that when my wife left and took the family, and that was, I've forgotten, I guess, but I would say that's probably one of the hardest times in my life. And it go 20 years or so and you kind of forget some of those, but I know that we go through seasons in this life. There's good times and there's bad times, there's ups and downs, there's times where it seems like all is light and good, and then there's times it seems like it's pretty dark. And I've probably had the last couple of years seem to be about the hardest I've ever had as far as struggle wise. It's just been really been difficult. There's been a lot of things happen. Just this last year, we had so many people leave and church burned down. Just seemed like there's just one thing after another's happened and added to just the struggle. But we can't give up on just loving. We can't just build walls to people that have hurt us. And we need to just keep on pressing on. This there's just seems like all that we've done, there's people that have just tried to undermine that and gone to all of our missions and all of the places and tried to turn people against us. And We're prone to want to say, well, we're not going to let that happen again. And we're going to build a wall. We're going to stop things like that from happening again. And the Lord knows all of this. The Lord lets everything that comes into our life, every struggle, every temptation, He allows it all. And when we start putting up barriers, we prohibit Him from letting His love work its way out in us. So, just want to... Yeah, we don't have to like everything. We don't have to agree with everything. But we can still say, Thy will be done. I would have never asked to go through what some of the things we've been through. But it's all in the Lord's hands. And we can let it make us better, or it can make us bitter. And we dare not let that happen. But, praise the Lord.
I think just in the same way in verse 23 of 1 Peter 2 that says Jesus, He uttered no threats but kept entrusting Himself to Him who judges righteously. The same way we're calling as individuals to do that, we can do that as a church.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to set up barriers and barricade somebody from coming into the fellowship that might cause problems, although we're warned to if someone is causing a problem, to beware. But look at all the problems they had in Corinth and in other churches. And that were actually really going on right then. And Paul was writing these letters to them, and he didn't tell them to just, no, you get over here and you separate yourselves, and you tell them if they want to come in, they got to say this, the words right and the password and everything else. I mean, wasn't anything like that. And even the churches in Asia were not done that way. They had some really bad stuff going on there, and he didn't tell them. Jesus was telling them this, and he didn't tell them, I don't have anything to do with that church over there. They're about done. You know, we base our separations and our wall building on a few verses that Paul says about individuals to beware of.
Mm-hmm.
But it would be just like you telling us, if somebody's causing problems, note that man. He's causing trouble.
Right.
And you're caring for the rest of the flock by doing that. You're not saying, but and he even says, yet not altogether as an unbeliever. You know, just, we need to love him. But there's times for that, just like there is in the home, just like there is in our own lives. You know, beware. But not to set up, not use those things as reasons to build denominations.
Right. Yeah, it's just easy to by God's grace, it's brought us safe thus far. I mean, it's been hard. I say I mean, who knows what tomorrow? I could make a vow that I'm never going to do anything, but who knows what tomorrow will bring? I mean, that's just. I was just thinking this about however many years ago it was my wife left. It's been my statement all along that by God's grace, I'm going to remain faithful, true to her, and not give myself to someone else. And there's times that's been hard and there's times that's been easy. But just to say that I'm not capable of it, I am. But by God's grace, I intend to be faithful to the Lord and be faithful to her and love and prove my love no matter what it goes through. So, not just to her, but to my neighbor. I want to be a friend. I want to love my neighbor as myself. I want to be a friend to people like that. I want to be dependable, to stick by people no matter what they go through. We don't know until you've walked in another man's. The Indians used to say, what was it about walking in another man? Until you've walked a mile in another man's moccasins. I mean, there's some people got hard lives, and we need to be thoughtful of that, because that life could be yours.
He knew some of the people personally that I was talking about, and just opened up to him, told him about some that have left us, and then what we've been learning about relating to them, and especially, and also when they show signs of maybe warming up a little bit, but yet we know there's still issues there, and told him our encouragement to the rest of the brethren to go to them and just complete quiet friendship rather than in instructing and continuing to press our point. And he said, I understand that a little bit, but what about you think that's going to help more than actually telling them what they need to hear? And right when he said that, it struck me how native this is to tell people what we believe they need to hear. And, because we think we know. We just think we know so well what it is, even though we've told them before. So I went on to explain to him that what we're learning, some of the things we've gone through lately, trying to be like Jesus, wanting to be like Him, and having to lay ourselves and our opinions down, and be humble, and just extend friendship sometimes, and how effective that can, we've seen it to be sometimes. Just did more than anything, seeing how our Lord was. And he said, well, he said, now I do understand that. But I said, I have a lot of questions now. He said, well, I guess one of them would be, why is it that so many groups that seem to do this, take this route that you're talking about? I told him about the basic tenets of the New Testament teachings, and being kind and receiving and good to any brother, and with wide open arms to any brother or sister who puts those into practice, strives to put those into practice, even though they make us feel so uncomfortable in so many areas, so many other areas of their lives. And he said, well, why? Oh, I just understand that, but why is it that so many groups that we see just, they end up then, when they try to pursue that route, just end up losing the basic tenets then of the New Testament? Well, I told him right away how, when you really examine why they did lose those basic teachings of Jesus, there is a different reason sometimes than what we think right away, that it's just because they took this route. I mean, I told him, I just don't have all the answers. What has happened to us is, in trying to be like the Lord, we have run up against a seeming danger of losing it in the next generation. I mean, yes, it looks like it. We could. I mean, but it's in our trying to be like Jesus. We find ourselves here. And I said, there's where faith is. There's what it means to have faith. Could faith go as far as to commit our children to the Lord and the future of our church to Him? And lay down the thought of going down in history as having an unbroken record. And just explained that to him some. I was glad for this question. He didn't have any more for the moment after that. Yeah. Well, it's a blessing to have questions like that from someone who has definitely seen the problems with what he himself is not necessarily promoting, but really having questions about. He's seen the problems. But now, is there another option? Could you actually get closer to Jesus' example and not get so dangerous? Mm-hmm.
How dangerous it was for Jesus.
That's just that David really stressed it in Mexico, that faith, this is what faith is.
I was thinking one of the rewards for loving people and being vulnerable is forgiveness. Like the woman who was washing Jesus' feet, you know, with her tears. You know, she had been forgiven much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that was the reward, you know, for Christ. You know. But to forgive somebody, you have to suffer first.
Mm-hmm. Lord bless you. I guess we'll meet back here tonight. 6:00.
Sing my soul His wondrous love. Be warm.